It is time to bring in the snowman from New York City, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim is, of course, a person who joins us every Tuesday at this time. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, weather, politics, stock market, sports. I mean, you name it.
He's an independent
voice. He's there. And he's right here with us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, from the big city, New York City, where fans know how to act after winning championships, Jim Lynch. Did you see the videos of those Philadelphia people after the Super Bowl?
Did you see Chris Matthews with the mayor of Philadelphia last night?
I mean, I've never seen.
Yeah, you have.
But it's funny, Jim. They were burning cars, turning cars over. They were doing it, and so I posted the video online. And one woman very correctly said, geez, what would they have done if they lost? And I said, oh, it's Philadelphia. They would have done the same thing. Any good reason to riot is in Philadelphia if you're a sports fan.
No, it wasn't a riot. They were celebrating.
Yeah, if they had lost, it would have been a riot.
That's it. I think Jill put a finger on it. Watch our terms, please.
Yes, all right.
Which takes us right into where we need to go. Let's watch our terms, please.
Yes.
So the first thing that we would be so grateful is, you know, explain that a market is not an individual. Please.
Explain that a market is not an individual.
Right.
Well, I think what we're trying to say is that Donald Trump made the freshman mistake, the non-political mistake, because he was never a politician, is you can't keep touting the stock market because the stock market really does not indicate the economy. And it's in radio, Jim, we have a thing. If you keep touting your ratings, there was an old and all of a sudden your ratings are gone. There's an old saying, you live by the sword. You die by the sword. And,
of course.
And you just can't take the stock market and say, that's an indication of the economy. Now, over the long run, you can say that because you tie it in with certain other factors. But watching the carnage happen on TV yesterday with the numbers was pretty interesting. But that doesn't really reflect on the immediate economy.
Definitely not. And you're right. It is... It's not human. It's just a market. But contained within the market, the emotions of people. And that, at times, as yesterday, as the last 6 months, those emotions drove first the market to unreasonable value. In other words, too highly prized. And people... For six months, continued to overvalue the stock market. And that was the human emotion of over-optimism, greed, etc. Then, when the obvious, and it was obvious, we've told our audience here, and others have told audiences throughout the country during the last several months, that the market is overvalued, you should take some profits, the tree doesn't grow to the sky. Well, some people obviously did, and some people obviously didn't. Now what is happening is not unusual in that the stock market was overvalued for too long a period of time, putting it in simple terms. Overvalued in the sense that there hadn't been any corrections for months and months of any note, which means that it's only a one-way trade, and one-way trades just don't go on forever. So this is not unusual. Now, in terms of the economy hasn't fallen out of bed at all. Wages were up a bit. Unemployment continues to hold at lower levels. Employment was up. However, those are forecasts, or rather, they are summaries of what happened. We'll call it a month, 2 months, 3 months ago. Going forward, it's now the economy. The economy will, however, the emotional part of the human being, will have this stock market decline in the back of their head as they go to make new investments. depending on how long this correction lasts, the psychology will indeed suffer. I want to point something out, though, that is very important to the market, to your savings, to your investing, etc. While the politicians or some of them were bragging about, oh, everything's great, in the economy I'm talking now, four or five companies have actually laid off workers since the tax cut. A number of them have given bonuses. We've heard that. However, some of those same companies have used the opportunity to cut back, use the money to send people on their way. Indicative of the tax cut and what it's going to do for the economy, noted sources say not much, namely Moody's Analytical Service and Forbes. These entities really don't have an interest in you buying or selling securities. They're selling the service of information. And they have done a study on the on the impact of the tax cut on most individuals and therefore on the economy, and they see it as a very small impact. Secondly, on that line, you saw Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, make a fool of himself by saying, oh, well, the secretary in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, I believe, she's so happy, she's getting $1.50 extra a week. $1.50 extra a week. What in the name of God do you do with that? You're certainly not going to move the economy.
Now, Jim, didn't you get a feeling, though, when I saw that tweet that he put up,
right?
I still think that he had a staffer put that up, and because I know Paul Ryan is not that stupid. He can't be to put that a tweet like that up. You know, $6 a month pays for her Costco card. Some stupid staffer had to think it was a heartwarming story, because if it was Paul Ryan, and it indicates that's the leader of the House of Representatives,
that's terrifying. But it's also
that's terrifying.
Not,
but
not.
I just can't believe it was him that put up that tweet.
Okay. Okay, let's take your point. It was a staffer. Once again, the sign of the people managing the country are not paying attention.
Well, I agree with that.
You're not going to get any argument here. But let's just jump for one second to another the horrible example over the weekend of things that people potentially not paying attention or whatever, was the third Amtrak crash. It's like these things, there's a lot going on that sort of indicates that people aren't as attentive to things than they should be.
Well, let's start with the following. When the President of the United States decides that an athlete, a football player, takes a knee and spends countless hours, I guess, twittering and thinking about it, and doesn't come up with a real-life solution to this strain problem, which is getting very repetitious, that is at the heart of the problem. The people running the government are not running it for the people. They're running it for themselves. And it's utterly incredible that the American people are standing by, taking this guff from the President of the United States, allowing him to get away with countless lies. And you raised a point earlier, Marshall, about politicians and Trump. He didn't even know where the numbers were. He just kept saying, oh, hi. And he had that smirk on his face 3 days ago, the same thing. Well, the smirk won't wipe off, because he'll find a way to blame somebody. Maybe Obama, maybe Bush, Douglas, whoever.
Well, Jim, you know, going along with those tax cuts, this is a story that I think that that people don't understand either with what the House did and the Senate. The individual mandate is gone now in the Obamacare, okay? But the IRS is going to enforce it even stronger this year. So if people think that they can go without insurance this year, they're wrong, because the IRS is going to hit you with that penalty tax if you don't have your insurance. So if you canceled your insurance thinking that the individual mandate was gone, it's not. You know, Jim?
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Okay, well, what I was saying is that the individual mandate, the House, I wanted to tie this in with what you said about $1.50 a week in taxes. The individual mandate is not gone when the House basically gutted Obamacare, which means if people canceled their insurance, the IRS, when they file their taxes, will not accept their taxes if they don't fill in whether they have insurance or not, and they're going to get hit with a hefty fine. There's a lot of things that people don't understand that are going to happen once they file those taxes this year.
Amen. And people should, we mentioned on the show a couple of times in the last month or so, you know, accounting, I'm not advocating any specific firm, but H&R Block, I don't know what their fees are, okay? They certainly can't be outrageous. If you don't have an accountant, but you make enough money to probably afford an accountant, now is the time to invest in it. That you can write off, but everybody has their own individual situation, and Marshall has just very correctly and thankfully pointed this out regarding the Obamacare situation. Take care of yourself. You know, already there's talk about people going to be surprised next year when they don't get the normal refund they get because of what's happened this year. And it's really too technical to try and explain, and it's not worth it, because every individual, or most individuals, are going to be different. So take care of yourself and get to an accountant. By the way, in terms of the politics, there's a wonderful article out by Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor, regarding the 20 promises that the president has not come forward with. And it's an abbreviated read. It's not a tough read at all. It's very succinct and very to the point. But one thing that people better start realizing, who voted or didn't, who either voted or didn't vote or voted for Trump, is that they did not get a tax cut as advertised. They'd voted for it. They didn't get hardly anything that they voted the president in for. And if you don't hurry up, Mr. President, you're going to be out of office before you can even bother to deal with these problems, one of which is opiates. And now we're reading that Kellyanne Conway is stepping in and taking the program over, using political forces or PR forces to try and drive a more positive story. She's been kind of dissing the people who should know, the pharma people, the medical people. Again, the government is not running the country. And people, wake up to this as you prepare to vote in November. We're going to have to sell more government bonds to cover this $1.5 trillion additional deficit that we're using to pay for the tax cuts. Does that sound prudent to you, that we have now created $1.5 trillion more in debt?
Can you explain?
After having a run of about 9 years of good economy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can you explain to normal people what that means? In other words, interest rates, people who listen, some obviously have a great deal of understanding about this. Some are just, and?
Okay, it's pretty simple. You go to the bank and you borrow money, and your rate is, I'm going to keep this simple, 3%. You want to borrow $100, they charge you 3%. You go to the bank and you want to borrow $5,000. They charge you 4.5%. It's called supply and demand. The federal government is in a position now where it's going to have to sell more bonds. The 10-year U.S. government, which I mentioned on last week's show, got as low as a 288. It's back to 272 as people are buying some bonds versus the stock market. What's going to happen is we're going to be issuing more debt. Interest rates are going to go up, and this might have, as it already has started to have, an impact on the stock market. Because when interest rates are higher, that's something that comes off the revenues of a company financing itself. Right. Therefore, it gets less earnings.
And another
go ahead.
No, and another question around that, just in terms of valuations and money moving back and forth and programs and fund managers, et cetera, because there are a lot of people who aren't doing this individually. What is, do you believe, obviously it's your opinion, a reasonable, as in appropriate, interest rate? What is an appropriate stock market level?
An appropriate stock market model?
Level. You know, people are all into numbers, so it's 24, 26, 28, and no one has looked at this sort of rocket shot that is, again.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I can't give it, I need to lead up to it a little bit.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to say that whenever you see a stock market that goes for 2 years without any downturn in it, is that's the thing that you look at. You know, it can't go on forever. I've been saying, Jim, and I don't know nothing about the stock market, but I do know the fact that things just don't, in radio, figures are figures, whether they're ratings or whether they're stocks. They can't just keep going up and up and up and up because there is a norm.
And if they do keep going up and up and up and up, as you alluded to last week, then you, if you are inclined in that direction, you start looking for, okay, well, you know, let's say somebody's earnings are going up and up and up and up. How are they doing that? It should be your, they've discovered some sort of massive business steroid. Cool. Let me get, in other words, your mind should start going, that's really, that defies common sense.
Okay, two things. One, a decent correction from the highs would be 20%. That's probably 19,000 on the Dow. It's currently about 2,400, something like that. However, only a fool buys numbers. You use numbers in charting specs. So when a stock breaks support, that's the time where you say, what's behind the break? Do I sell the break and get out now and lose less money? Or do I know upon research that this has got nothing to do with the value of the company and I'll buy it at lower levels? When you go into the stock market, you are going in as an investor long term. You don't pick a number that strikes you as very cheap or very expensive because it's only a number. When I was a kid, when I first started out in Wall Street, I worked on what they called then an over-the-counter desk, which was where stocks that were not listed on the New York Stock Exchange would trade over the counter. And I remember one day, and I was on the job maybe 3 months, and I said to a senior-type trader at another firm, I was trying to buy some stock for somebody. And I said, you know, what's this and that? And he said to me, kid, it's only a number with me. He didn't even know what the company did, but what he did know was supply and demand. He did know emotion. He did know those things. That's not what an individual investor should be doing. You need to create a plan. How much money am I going to save each year, and what should I do with it? Should I put it in stocks? Should I put it in bonds? Should I put it in cash? What is my risk tolerance? When do I need the money back? Now, if you're thinking of investing for 1 year in the stock market to forget about it. Unless you're a pro, forget about it. Because you can't really do well as an investor in 1 year. Maybe you can as a speculator, which you can do in 2 days or 2 months or whatever. And the difference is this. The investor knows his company or knows the fund company that has a lot of stocks in it. You look for quality. You buy in on a regular basis. You hold. You hold for 5 years. You hold for 10 years. Might sound altruistic, but if you look at those people who sold out in 2008 of good stocks, I'm not talking about stuff that was off the run or whatever. 2008, okay? Market's up over 70% since then. So if you had held good stocks during that type of crisis, you would have been okay. Now let's get, am I still with you? I hear buzz.
No, you're absolutely here. It's good info.
We've got about one more minute left, though.
Okay. That was the bell. It's like the last round. Anyhow, in terms of the market currently, I have been suggesting people take money off the table over the last months. I was a little bit more vehement using my interest rate profile last week. If you have not sold, if you've not taken any profits, take profits. Just take profits. I don't care where the market's going from here. You need to be more in cash. If you've allocated 100% to your model, and based on what I'm looking at now, which is more fundamental economy and less fundamental company, you need cash. You need cash to make yourself feel better. You need cash to buy stocks at lower level. Because I do believe that they're going lower and possibly a lot lower. And I'll end with this. The head of the United States of America at the moment is the corporate head. That's Donald Trump. You look at any corporation out there, when you get I got to watch my words, that when you get someone who doesn't know what they're doing running a company, and it's right before your very eyes, you don't buy the company. So there's more to come in this administration, and it's not going to be good, and it's not going to be good for the markets.
All right.
And most importantly, we are still a democracy. Pay attention and keep us a democracy so you vote appropriately and vote in November. God bless you. Take care of you. Take care of your kids.
All right, Jim, speak next week.
Right. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.